Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Before we start reading, I'm going to ask Brother Eddie Kincaid, could you pray for us, please?
Lord Jesus, you're good to us. We want to thank you this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ who died for us. And Lord Jesus, you can be saved eternally. Thank you for giving your life for us. Pray, Lord, you bless your word this morning. Bless the preacher. Have your way touch our hearts. May we learn to more about you and draw closer to you. Lord, forgive us when we fail. May you be glorified today.
Amen. 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 So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 13 through 15. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." I want to talk today and give a warning against counterfeit Christianity. I want to give a warning against Christianity or religion, this umbrella of things that can call themselves Christians, but it's counterfeit. It's not real. And this is dangerous. It's a dangerous thing. Satan doesn't always oppose himself openly, as you could say, right? It's not an always a rebellious, open thing that he does. Sometimes he plays a part that seems right, that seems good, but is very subtle and deceitful in a very subtle way. And I think we need to understand this. You see, God wants to save souls. This is what he wants. This is what he desires. God actually says that he doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want sinners to die and go to hell. Jesus wants to save souls.
Amen.
Now, his justice requires that one day he's going to have to condemn those that rejected the gospel. But he doesn't want that. It's not his desire. He wants people to be saved. He says he desires that all would come to repentance. He wants them to be saved. But Satan is different. Satan is opposite. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus tells us. That's what he does. That's what his desire is. And so he's doing all the things that he can do. Satan really is waging a war because he wants to destroy people's lives. He wants to destroy your soul. He does not want you to be saved. This is the reality. And he'll do anything he can in his power to stop that from happening.
Right.
Even pretending to be an angel of light. He'll even do things that will convince people that they're doing the right thing, that they're doing good, that they're on the right way, that they're on the right path, but it's really Satan that's fooling them. He says they're false apostles. They transform themselves into apostles of Christ. They are putting on, they're showing themselves, they're giving an appearance of being real apostles. And Satan himself appears as an angel of light. And so it shouldn't be a great thing. It shouldn't surprise us that his ministers are transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They look, they seem, they appear to be good. They appear to be right. And yet, they're wrong. He says, and their end shall be according to their works. In other words, in the end, it's gonna come out, it's gonna show up, we're gonna find out what's real and what's not. And so I want to talk about a warning against counterfeit Christianity. Because Satan's goal is to bring up a religion that looks so close that people don't even notice the difference. I want to ask you, have you ever received a fake bill? A counterfeit bill? Well, this happened to me, not long ago at work. I received a bill, a $50 bill. And this guy, I mean, he was good. He was an older gentleman. And as he was giving it to me, he started saying something and distracting me and looking over here. And I mean, I was just, okay, let's go, go, go. And I got distracted and I didn't even check the bill. I put it in at that night whenever we were counting the till. There it is, the only $50 bill. And that's the one it was. Boy, it's not even a good fake bill. I mean, it's not even a counterfeit bill. It actually says on here, for motion picture purposes. Boy, did I fall for that one. You know what? I didn't check. I didn't check the bill. I didn't look. I didn't see it. And you know what happens? If you don't examine things closely, you'll be tricked. You have to look closely because a lot of these things are made to look real, but they don't have any real value. And a lot of religions will look real, will look good. They have an appearance, but they are not the real thing. And we have to be careful. You have to examine them closely. And the truth is there's a lot of them. There's a lot of different religions who they fall under the umbrella of calling themselves Christians, but they really use the right words, but they're empty in their true meaning. It's like Catholicism uses the right vocabulary, but they don't use the right dictionary. It's almost that they say that they everybody says these right words and it's so popular. People start talking and everything they say sounds really good, but they don't know what it means. They don't mean what it actually really means. Talk to people about justification. Talk to people about salvation. And a lot of religions will use these words. But if you dig deep and you focus and you examine it and you ask, it's not what it means in the Bible. It's not the same definition. And so we got to examine these to make sure we are not being deceived by a counterfeit, which a lot of times can happen. And Satan can counterfeit Christ's gospel. And I believe he does that, and I believe he wants to do that, and I believe it's purposeful. And he can do it by addition. He puts things on there, he adds things to it, and you can find out, you can recognize whether it's a counterfeit or not. You can do it. So just be careful. Just because they borrow the name of Christ doesn't mean they are true. They can deny his sufficiency. And I want to focus on the Catholic doctrines. Because the Catholic doctrines is one of those that is very, very big, and it's an umbrella, and it gets put under this umbrella where everybody actually wants to think that it's okay. And we can become in a very friendly state, which we should, right? We're friends. I can have friends from all over. But we can't ignore that they are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can't just put that off to as the side as if it's not a big deal. It is a big deal, and we have to recognize that this can condemn people's souls because of what they're trusting in. And if you are part of the Catholic system, you should take a good look at it. You should find out what it says because you don't want to be caught up in something that is a counterfeit and it's not true. So I want to talk about five different things that we should examine about the Catholic Church to see the counterfeit that it is. There's five different things they add to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the first one I want to look at is that they add another mediator. And we're going to look at this. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Well-known verse, but you need to see it. You need to actually look at it. I want you to examine the faith that you have. And by the way, this is the official teachings of the Roman Catholic doctrine. Now, just like as far as Christianity, I mean, we can all be in a church that we don't know maybe every single doctrine that they teach. And you know, I mean, that happens sometimes, right? So I'm not saying that every single Catholic believes exactly this way, But you should know that this is the official teaching of Catholicism. Now, if you don't believe this way, that's fine. But if you do believe this way, or you associate with yourself with Catholicism, this is their official teaching. And I think that should be concerning to you. I think it should be concerning to you. And I think God has given us the clarity that for our moral purposes, we should separate ourselves from anybody that's teaching a false gospel. It's just, you should come out from among them. You shouldn't consider yourself and stay there and pretend like everything's okay. You should come out from among them. So let's take a close look and examine this. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and this is the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Now this is what we preach. Jesus Christ is the only mediator. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is exclusive. It is only him. There is none other beside him and no other way.
Amen.
But let me pull up a couple things. If you look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it says in the Catechism verse, they have it by numbers, it's 969. You can look it up, you can check these things out. But it says, this motherhood of Mary, in the order of grace, continues interruptedly from the consent which she loyally gave at the Annunciation, and which she sustained without wavering beneath the cross, until the eternal fulfillment of all the elect taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside this saving office, but by her manifold intercession continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation. Therefore, the Blessed Virgin is invoked in the church under the titles of Advocate, Helper, Benefactress, and Mediatrix. Now this is the official teaching of the church, and boy, I can say, I cannot read that and not cringe and be warned and be kind of scared of the danger to associate her with the only, names that Jesus should be given. These titles should not be given to anybody else. And I can guarantee you, Mary is not asking you to give her those titles. These titles belong to Jesus Christ only. That she continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation? No way. Jesus is the one that gives us the gift of eternal salvation. No one else. And she does not deserve that title. She does not want that title. That title is something given by a counterfeit Christianity.
Amen.
And you need to separate yourself from that if you see it.
Amen.
She's called the Advocate. You know the verse, 1 John 2:1 says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And that's Jesus Christ, the righteous. You see, there is an advocate, and it's not Mary, it is Jesus Christ. It's very clear in the scriptures, so there is no place to give this title to Mary.
Amen.
This is adding another mediator where there is no need for another mediator. There is one, and it is Jesus Christ. She's called the helper, but remember, Mary is not the helper of the church. Mary is not the helper of the sinners. This is Jesus Christ, and His Spirit is the helper.
Amen.
She's called the benefactress. Like it said here, that she continues to bring us gifts of eternal salvation. But no, that does not belong to her. And then finally, it does say that she is mediatrix. This is what they call her. They invoke her. There is none other but Jesus Christ. These are titles. Now, like I said, if you didn't know that the Catholic Church teaches this, well, hey, there it is. Go research it for yourself. It is a teaching that you should be made aware of so that you can be warned. It is a counterfeit Christianity. It is not the teachings of Jesus Christ. And be warned, this is real. This is true. And it's dangerous. Because as soon as you start thinking that there's somebody else mediating between you and God, you take away what Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
You're no longer giving Him the title that He only deserves. In fact, it's so bad because there's somehow some kind of idea that God is somehow wrathful and vengeful, that he is just in a state that you cannot reason with, that you cannot come to, that you cannot boldly approach his throne of grace. Somehow this has gotten confused in this teaching and thinking that you cannot come to him directly. You have to come through his mother Mary. Mary will give you she'll be able to intercede for you to Jesus so that Jesus can go to the Father so that it'll all be taken care of. Listen, this is not the doctrine of the Bible. Right. Jesus Christ is there for you to go to directly.
Right.
You can come before him and you can confess your sins. You can confess your sins to him and he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. You don't have to go through Mary. In fact, you can't go through Mary. This is a lie. This is a counterfeit gospel. It is wrong. In fact, I want to go to Matthew. You need to look at this. You need to see this, especially if you're caught up in it. If you think that Mary somehow has a special place in God's plan. In fact, we saw it... We see it down there in another place. It calls her the Queen of Heaven. It gives her this place, this spot, as she is the Queen of Heaven. No, look in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to read verse 47 through 50. Actually, starting verse 46, it says, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, and they desire to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them, and told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Listen, Christ did not give a special place to Mary. He did not set her up in a special place. He did not say that she had special mediating powers. He did not say that she had a spiritual privilege. He didn't say that she had some unique power. But these are all things that the Catholic doctrine teaches very clearly. She has special power and special place and special mediation, that she has these things. And that is a very dangerous doctrine.
Amen. Amen.
It needs to be seen. It needs to be researched. You need to see it and you need to decide what you're going to do with that.
Amen.
Are you going to continue trusting in the teachings of a counterfeit Christianity? Are you going to repent and believe on Jesus Christ alone?
Amen.
This is the answer. Jesus Christ alone is the answer. So not only is there another mediator, and you can look at that, you can examine closely so that you won't be deceived. You can see that there's another mediator in their teaching, but also there's another sacrifice. There's another sacrifice. And we'll go to Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to get through these as best I can, but I also want to pay attention to them. So we'll go through them. Hebrews chapter 10. Look what it says. I'm going to start from verse 11. It says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." One offering perfected forever them that are sanctified. Listen to what the Bible says. That is the teaching. But Catholic dogma says, in the Council of Trent, Session 22, says the Mass is a true and proper sacrifice. It says that the sacrifice of Christ and the sacrifice of the Eucharist are one single sacrifice. The same Christ is offered in an unbloody manner. They're saying that it is a sacrifice that is repeated. It has to be done, ordained by priests that can have the capability of doing it. And they say it is a sacrifice that is truly propitiatory. That sacrifice, they say, actually helps appease the wrath of God because of that sacrifice that they are performing on that day when you take it. This is not biblical. This is against what the Bible actually says, that Jesus Christ was offered one time. You cannot say that Jesus Christ was offered one time and then say that the sacrifices that they do every day are the same sacrifice as the sacrifice of Jesus. It's one time. It was done one time. It's never needed to be done again. They've gone back to the old ritualistic Jewish tradition of offering sacrifices daily for the forgiveness of sins, which was done away by Jesus Christ when he offered his perfect sacrifice. Amen. Why are we going back to these things? It's not needed. It's not right. Amen. And I think more interesting is that Catholic teaching is that anybody who believes differently is actually called anathema. You are accursed if you don't believe the way their doctrine is spelled out. In fact, it says in another session, the Council of Trent, it says, if anyone says that there is not in the New Testament a visible and external priesthood, and that there is not any power of consecrating and offering the true body and blood of the Lord, let him be anathema. Now listen, I believe, I know, and I say that which they sacrifice daily in their Catholic Mass is not the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I am considered anathema. Another one says, if anyone says that Christ received in the Eucharist is received spiritually only and not also sacramentally and really, let him be anathema. Listen, that is not really Jesus Christ in the bread. It's not his real bread. It doesn't become, because this is transubstantiation. They say they do a real thing where they actually, it becomes, it changes. It changes into the real form of Jesus Christ, and it is not true.
Right.
Listen to this. It says, this sacrament is a remedy to be freed from daily faults and to preserve us from mortal sins. The daily sacrifice that they do through this Eucharist is supposedly the one that is helping you and forgiving you of your sins and helping you along. This is not doctrinally sound. This is a counterfeit, and it is not true, and it is dangerous. It's actually hurting people that are trusting in it. People are going there trusting whenever they receive that it is somehow helping them, that it is somehow affecting them, that it is somehow changing them, but it is not. In fact, what does John say? John chapter 6, let's go there. Just because let's see what Jesus says. His words, I mean, are his words important? Yes, they are. Jesus said in three different gospels, he mentioned that his mother had no special place. Those should be meaningful to us, more meaningful than what the doctrine of the Catholic Church says. Well, John chapter 6, Jesus says something also. This is verse 63. Jesus says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing.
Amen.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now this is Jesus when he's talking about them having to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And these guys are getting all scared. They're thinking, what is he talking literally? Is he talking about the real flesh, the real blood? And Jesus says, listen, the flesh profits nothing. And this is something that you should know, you should hear. These are the words of Jesus Christ. That piece of bread that you get and that you take and that you eat does not profit you. It does not save you. It does not forgive your sins. It does not cleanse you. It does not help you. That physical piece of food does not change you spiritually.
Amen.
It's the words of Jesus Christ that have power of life. And that's what Peter recognized. He said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
It's the words. That means it's the Bible. It's His Word. This is what gives you life. Not a sacrament, not a sacrifice that is repeated daily, not taking it, that flesh profits you nothing. So not only is there another mediator, they offer another sacrifice, which is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it hurts the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is hurting people that are believing it. But they offer another authority also. You know, the Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. It says that the scripture is given and that the scripture is what we use for all the things that we need in the church. The scripture. In fact, the gospel that was read a little while ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, didn't you see what it said? It said, according to the scriptures. The scriptures are the authority, and where we get our authority, it's where we know Jesus Christ and believe Jesus Christ, and His words are what give us eternal life. It's His word. It's the scripture. But the Catholic dogma is that the Pope is infallible when speaking ex cathedra. The Pope is infallible when he is seated on his seat and he gives a decree. Whenever, whatever he says regarding faith, that's what goes. It holds a higher authority than the words of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Because the Pope is called the Vicar of Christ, His representative on earth to the whole church. Scripture and tradition must be accepted and honored, listen, with equal sentiments of devotion and reverence as Jesus Christ. The Pope has full, supreme, and universal power over the whole church. Listen, this is another authority that they give. Anybody that brings you another authority is wrong. Just like Paul said, anybody that preaches another gospel, right? Paul actually says, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Yes, anathema is needed for some people, and those that are preaching another gospel using another authority need to be accursed. Anybody comes to you with a new book saying, hey, this is another testament of Jesus Christ. Listen, that's not true, and we don't accept it. We have the testament of Jesus Christ. He gave it to us. It's clear. And so, what they say, what they teach, is more valid than what the Bible says. That's why sometimes you can say, well, but the Bible says this, but if tradition holds, and if they've already spoken, if the Pope has given his word, then it holds up stronger than the Bible that you hold in your hands. Because the Bible that you hold in your hands is old, antiquated, for another time, for somebody else. But the living Pope, well, he's in charge of the whole church. This is completely incorrect. And you need to research that, and you need to find out what is your authority. If you are trusting in the Catholic Church, you need to do research. You need to examine it closely, because you do not want to be deceived. And don't let them deceive you. And I understand that this seems like something that is hard to do. It's hard to go through something that you've been taught and that you like and that you love. Again, listen, it says that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. That sounds beautiful. That sounds marvelous. It probably looks good and it makes you feel good. But listen, if it's not true and if it's not right, you have to get away from it.
Amen.
Even though it's hard. And it is hard. But Peter said that We've been redeemed from the conversation, right? From the teaching, from the tradition of our fathers. How? Not with things like gold and silver. He says we've been redeemed from that by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The reason it's hard for you to get away from the Catholic doctrine and from the Catholic Church is because you're focused on the Catholic doctrine and the Catholic Church. When you start focusing on Jesus Christ, it's easy to walk away. When you start focusing on the blood of Jesus Christ, boy, you can give up anything.
Amen.
Start focusing on Jesus Christ. It will give you clarity. There's a teaching of another mediator. There's a teaching of another sacrifice. There is another authority given by the Catholic teaching. And there's also another work added. Listen, we believe that by grace we're saved through faith. This is what the Bible tells us. It is not of us. It's a gift that Christ gives us. We cannot be justified by the works of the law. It's without the works of the law. In fact, we believe, like it says in Romans chapter 11 verse 6, that it can't be both good works and faith. And it can't be faith and good works because they're opposite. They're completely different. If it's works, then it's no more grace. And if it's grace, then it can't be works anymore. It has to be one or the other. There is no shared version. You cannot be 99% depending on Jesus and 1% depending on you. It doesn't work.
Amen.
And by the way, if it were that way, you would lose it. Just to let you know. If it did depend on you.
Amen.
You wouldn't get it. Adam was in a perfect environment, was communally close to Jesus, was communally close to God. I mean, he was right there. And if he fell, what makes you think you could do it?
Right.
Amen.
But the Catholic dogmas, Council of Trent, Session 6, Canon 9 says, if anyone says that the sinner is justified by faith alone, and it goes on, it ends with, let him be anathema. It says that the sacraments are necessary for salvation. And whenever we add another work, listen, I'm going to read a couple other things for you from the canons. Canon 12 says, if anyone saith that justifying faith is nothing else but confidence in the divine mercy, which remits sins for Christ's sake, or if somebody says that this confidence alone is that whereby we are justified, let him be anathema. If you say that it's by Jesus Christ and faith in him alone that you're justified, you are accursed. Now this is what the Bible tells us explicitly over and over. Read Romans 3, read Romans 4, read Romans 5, read the whole New Testament. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. And believing on him, you shall be saved.
Amen.
But you are considered accursed by Catholic doctrine, by Catholic teaching. This is a curse. If anyone saith that the justice received is not preserved and also increased before God through good works, but that those works are merely the fruits and signs of justification obtained, but not the cause of the increase thereof, let him be anathema. If you say that you're saved by faith alone, and that those works don't help you, those works don't increase your justification, those works aren't what actually get you closer to God, if you believe that those works just come after salvation because you are saved and now you work, you're accursed. Which is exactly what the Bible teaches. If anyone denies that sacramental confession that was instituted or is necessary to salvation by divine law, let him be anathema. If you say you don't have to go confess your sins to the priest to be saved, you're accursed. These are the teachings of the official doctrine of Catholicism. And it's dangerous because it looks good and it feels good and it sounds good and it's warm, it makes you feel warm inside. But it is a false gospel.
Right.
It is a false teaching. It curses the Bible.
Amen.
Because the things that it places curses on are what the Bible says clearly.
Amen.
So you are having to choose whether you're going to believe the Catholic doctrine or whether you're going to believe the words that are in the Bible.
Amen.
It is a choice you have to make. You cannot put them together. You cannot live happily together. No, it's one or the other. You cannot have them together. Another thing is that it gives us not only another work, another authority, and it gives us another mediator. It gives us another sacrifice, but it also gives us another worship. And Catholicism allows worshiping in a way that the Bible never allows you to worship.
Amen.
Let me show you some things. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, this is CC the 2131. It says, and just think about how much authority they think they have to be able to disregard what the Bible says and put up their new submissions of what they think. It says, basing itself on the mystery of the incarnate word, the Seventh Ecumenical Council of Nicaea justified the venerations of icons of Christ, but also of the Mother of God, the angels, and of all the saints. The Christian veneration of images is not contrary to the first commandment, which proscribes idols. Well, where do they get that from? How can you say that this is not contradicting what God told us was wrong to do in Exodus chapter 20? Well, we just say it is different, and so you have to believe that it's different. Listen, I get my authority from the Word of God,
right,
and I'm not going to let man tell me that it's okay to do something that God told me it's not right to do.
Right.
And this is practically evidenced. You see it all the time. There are statues that are carried around venerating Mary, And walking her up and down, and they are prostrating themselves before her, bowing themselves down to idols, bowing themselves down to images, bowing themselves down to angels and saints, which none of them deserve that type of worship.
Amen.
Yep.
But it is told to you that it is okay to do. I want to read a couple things here. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We were there this morning in Sunday school. Peter comes in verse 25. Look at what it says. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him. Now this is whom they claim is the first pope. Just again, you can't even put it together with the doctrines that they have about who the Pope was. And if the Pope actually said things that are important, then why are we going against what he said? It just doesn't fit together any way you look at it. This is verse 25. Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." Peter said no to worship. He said, "No, don't bow down before me. No, don't worship me." He said, "Stand up, I'm just a man." Right now, there is an idol of Peter that is every single year, reverently, people go and march and do pilgrimage, and they go and bow down to that thing, and they kiss it, and they rub it, and they just adore it. What would Peter be saying right now? I think he would be saying what he told Cornelius. Don't do it. I am just a man.
Yep.
Seems clear to me. Let's see what Revelation 22 says. Revelation 22. This is Another worship. It's not the type of worship we find in the Bible. In the Bible, the Bible is very clear. There's nobody's going to be boasting. Nobody's going to be boasting about themselves. Nobody's going to be boasting about another man. Nobody's boasting except they're boasting in Jesus Christ. That's all the boasting there is. That's all the worship there is. In heaven, guess what? Everybody's singing praises. And they're not singing praises to Mary. They're not singing praises to Peter or anybody else in this room. They're definitely not singing praises to anybody here. They're singing praises to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and to the Father who's on His throne. That's all. Nobody else gets praise and worship. Revelation chapter 22, verse 8 and 9. It says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things." I mean, come on, it's an angel who showed these things to him. He deserves worship, doesn't he? "Then saith he unto me," the angel said, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book." He said, "Worship God." The angel said, "Do not worship me. I'm just like you and like any other. I'm just like the prophets and the brethren and all those saints and Mary and anybody else." He says, "I'm just like them. Do not worship me." He said, "Worship God." There is no room for worshiping anybody else other than God in Christianity. And so if you are allowing worship to others that are not God, that is a false Christianity. It is not correct.
Amen.
It is a counterfeit Christianity if we have another worship and another work and another authority and another sacrifice and another mediator. These are counterfeits of the true gospel. Jesus Christ is the only mediator. Jesus Christ gave the only sacrifice, and He is our only authority, and He did the complete full work.
Amen.
And to Him only belongs the worship, the praise, the glory, and honor. It's all Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So take a closer look. Make sure you find out, what is it you believe? What is it a religion teaches? And this is just the one we talked about today, Catholicism. But listen, all other religions fall under the same things, the same categories. If they are not worshiping Jesus Christ alone, if they're not trusting in Jesus Christ's sacrifice alone, if they're not trusting in His authority alone, if they fall short of all these points too, then that is also a false doctrine, a false teaching, and you need to stay clear of it.
Amen.
So let's read our Bibles, know the words of eternal life, and follow Jesus Christ faithfully so that we won't be deceived as many people are today. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer to end.